Why does Avonmore Supermilk matter so much to so many Irish people? Well, in Ireland, whatever we're doing, we all like to get the most out of it. It's just the way we are. And we know we can rely on Avonmore Supermilk. It's fortified with vitamin D, so your body can absorb the calcium it needs to help keep bones healthy. It helps support your immune system too. So when you get the most out of your milk, you can get the most out of everything. Avonmore Supermilk. The most super our milk can be.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney prior to and during any question. Afford one, a court will appoint one for you. You understand your rights?
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah, you thought you had it licked. But Hitman and Overton made you sure to turn to shit. Get ready, you're gonna do time. Crime.
Warning. Each episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast will contain descriptions of acts of violence or of a sexual nature and are for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off the internet or from some television show. These facts I'm retelling were presented to me by the victims of the crime or the perpetrators who committed the crimes. My descriptions of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you are going to get offended, turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton, my co-host, Jim, the Hitman Rapman. What's up, Jim?
What's going on, Woody? How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good, doing well. So, let's start out real quick. Y'all, just a couple quick announcements before the show, could just about 2 minutes of your time. And then stay tuned at the end of today's episode. We have a lot of great information and stuff you need to hear. So, but let's talk about the first annual, or as one of our lifers corrected me, it should say inaugural, but first annual Real Life, Real Crime Crew Bash, which is February 15th at the Basin in downtown Baton Rouge on 3rd Street. And y'all, we'll talk about it a little bit more at the end of the show about parking and the parade that's going to roll earlier that night and stuff like that. But I just want to tell you, you got to get your tickets, right, Jim?
Definitely get your tickets. You know, last night we posted some photos because we received our 2019 People's Choice Podcast Awards. And so we finally received those awards. And so we put those up and we had a tremendous amount of feedback. But in turn, a lot of the tickets started going on sale or buying up real quick. So if you are wanting to go to the event, I encourage you to not waste time and go get your ticket, because there's only so many of them. And once they're gone, unfortunately, we won't be able to get anybody else in there. So don't waste any time. Go out and get your ticket. Come party with us. Woody and I will be on stage for an hour and a half, 2 hours or so, interactive case that we're going to do. It'll be different from what we're doing in January. And then you're going to hear the wonderful music of Tom Play, and they're going to bring it. And so between the open bars, that, you can come over, meet with Woody and I, take pictures, talk. It's going to be one hell of a night. So go get your tickets. Come on.
Yeah, we're going to party. It's, you know, 1 million downloads, first anniversary, our celebrating our podcast awards, and just getting a Mardi Gras, getting the throwdown with the crew and the lifers. And tickets $35, y'all, and just like on the shows that in Walker, all three of them sold out. within 24 hours when they were posted, and a bunch of people wanted, you know, tickets afterwards. They can't do it on this one. There's no way, because the fire marshal, and this is a concert hall. It's a lot bigger venue, but you need to get them quick. So that being said, let's go. I want to give a shout out real quick on a promo to Mike Morford. Mike is one of the biggest names in true crime podcasting. He's got several shows. He's been a friend to us. He's got a new podcast called Scene of the Crime. And I'm going to let you listen to the promo now. Mike Morford, Scene of the Crime.
Coming up in season one of Scene of the Crime, Delphi.
Why Libby? Why Abby? Why Delphi?
Those girls loved each other. They were good friends. Neither one of them left each other's side. Both those girls are heroes.
Before the words came out, I knew. I knew this was not good.
As soon as I saw that, I knew something really bad happened.
The detectives were like, this is not going to take that long. It's a small town. Somebody's going to say something, and this is all going to be over soon. The first couple of weeks, that's what it felt like, is that any day now. And then all of a sudden, a couple of weeks turned into a couple of months.
My biggest fear is that whoever did this would do it again. I don't want that to happen to another family, because I'm telling you, it's hell.
There was no logical reason anybody would have known those girls would be there that day.
Child abduction murders in and of themselves are incredibly rare, but the abduction of two children at one time is even rarer. I've only seen a couple in my entire career.
There is a lot of crime scene evidence. Some of it is somewhat odd.
Shortly after solving the Golden State Killer case, I did speak with an investigator that was involved with the Delphi murders.
If you haven't walked across the bridge, you don't understand, right?
Yeah, like that bridge is scary.
It is scary, and those railroad ties are rotted.
That bridge scares me. So yeah. For somebody to be able to cross it, he's moving well enough that he has to know the bridge.
He's done that before.
It could have been any one of our kids. It could have been anyone at the bridge that day.
It's hard for me to believe anybody could do something so bizarre and horrible and not feel compelled to tell somebody about it.
Those two young girls were everybody's daughter. I refuse to accept evil as a standard bearer in American society. I believe we're one piece of the puzzle away from figuring out who this individual is.
To the killer who may be in this room, do you want to know what we know? And one day, you will.
You've just listened to a short preview of Scene of the Crime, Season 1, Delphi. Be sure to subscribe right now wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, y'all. That was Mike Morford's new podcast, Scene of the Crime. So check it out and stay tuned. We have another promo for Delving into the Cold by Dee that we're going to play at the end of today's episode. All right, Jim, let's get started. Today,
do it, buddy.
Today, we're going to talk about a murder case. It's kind of crazy. It's you know, of course, all murder cases, I guess, are a little bit crazy. But this one's called Murder in the Big D. And it was in July of 2002. And it occurred at the Big D Trailer Park. Now, you listeners, you've heard of us talk about the Big D Trailer Park before on several episodes, but the main one being Hit a Lick, where they shot the man, et cetera. But it's the same place. And Jim, tell them about Big D.
So Big D Trailer Park, if you're in, it's literally right on the line of Denham Springs and Walker. So if you are in the city of Denham Springs and you turn onto Florida Boulevard, like you're heading east on 190, it's going to be on your left-hand side, probably about a half mile before you hit Burgess Road. It's kind of on the back side of Walker High School, where their football field and their track is. It's kind of like on that back end of that, close to Florida Boulevard. So if you can just, if that helps paint a picture of where it is, but I think that trailer park is closed now.
Yeah, they finally
it was definitely active back then.
Yeah, they finally shut it down. I'm gonna tell you why we're doing this story. We had so many requests to do this, to cover this story, and it is an interesting story. So that's we're answering y'all's request to hear this and to tell it. But the Big D Trailer Park wise, it wasn't a Kathy Bernard's trailer park. I mean, that when you turn into it, And Jim, you can describe it better than me. It wasn't that deep. It's like not like it was super huge. But at least these trailers had lots. And
thank God.
Yeah. In parking space.
At least you could find where you're going.
Right. But they, and it, like I said, it wasn't that big, but they were all old piece of shit, run down trailers. And I mean, I'm sure there were some good people in there, but, there were a lot of bad people in there. At the time, it actually fell in the city limits of Walker. It was covered by Walker Police Department. But it was Walker's biggest problem. And for the drug use and domestic violence calls and all the trouble they had out there. So
yeah, it wasn't a big trailer park at all. There's really no light. So at nighttime, it's just real dark. But at least you could find where you wanted to go, because at least they had a lot number, unlike some other places we've been to before where you have no idea which one is what, because the mailbox and the residences are a mile apart.
I mean, Livingston naturally has, you know, some, they have some trailer parks that are just like country clubs. And then you go all the way down to the other end, places that you can't even drive into that are just should be condemned. And anyway, but this one was the worst. I have to say, well, worse than the Walker areas. It wasn't as bad as like Eastover or Magot Estates. But it certainly was the worst in Walker. So back in July the 10th, 2002, there was a guy named Joseph Trahan. He was 40 years old, and he's from Brule, Louisiana. And our listeners in Louisiana, you'll know where that's at. You go across the bridge from East Baton Rouge, the Mississippi River Bridge, from East Baton Rouge to West Baton Rouge, and you get off and you take a left going south away from Port Allen. Eventually, you run into the small town of Brule. But Joseph Trahan, well, we would call him a frequent flyer. He had a pretty extensive criminal history. Like I said, he was 40 years old. But I mean, to tell you, his character, his street name was Outlaw. I mean, you know, I could think of like a lot of nicknames to have, Jim, but Outlaw, that I guess that defines who you are right there. But anyway, so he was over there doing God knows what, I'm sure narcotics, et cetera. And y'all, I was contacted, I'm not going to say a name, by a relative of his. And they told me about him, and they said he was just a real shitbag, and he molested kids. And I mean, I'm not saying anything. I'm telling you what was told to me. He molested kids and attempted to molest them as they were coming up, and just, you know, was always stealing and shit, and just a real piece of shit. It is what it is. I'm just giving you the background on him. And this person said, you know, she believes he absolutely, well, I'll say that. I'm going to get ahead of myself. So Outlaw's hanging out in the Big D, right? And doing God knows what. And he's just kind of kicking it. I mean, doesn't have a place to live. He's homeless. And he meets a lady by the last name of Petrie. Just one afternoon, and they're talking in the Big D, and they weren't at her trailer, and he tells her he doesn't have anywhere to stay, and she throws him the key to her trailer and says, you can just crash at my place. And she said, but I'm not going to be home tonight. Okay. I mean, Jim, what do you think about that? I mean, it's a fact that he had never stayed there before, and that's the night, the first day she ever met him, she just throws him the keys. Let me throw this in real quick for your answer. As you know, so the listeners can hear, she had a 16-year-old son who was living in the residence, but she's just chunks him the keys. According to witness testimony, she just chunked him the keys and said, you can crash my place. I'm not going to be there, though.
I mean, it's an interesting way to do it. you know, it kind of fits what goes on in that trailer park, though, with everything else that was going on, the drugs and so on. But, I mean, no risk factors into that at all. Didn't even, you know, who is this guy? What's his background? Oh, by the way, my son's staying in there. But, hey, don't worry about it. I don't know you. So here's my keys. Go ahead and crash. Make yourself comfortable. Yeah. You know,
make yourself at home.
Pretty friendly.
Yeah. Make yourself home, hang out, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't really get it, but
my food, pet my
yeah,
dog,
whatever. Yeah, fart on my couch, whatever you want to do. I don't get it. I mean, I guess it just takes all kinds of people to make the world go round. So you got this transient. I mean, he's just cruising through, going neighborhood to neighborhood, doing his dope, and probably somebody left him there or whatever. We don't know, but we know he was not a resident of the Big D. He got there, and that was literally within minutes of meeting the guy. She chunks him the keys and says, "You can crash at my pad, but hey, I'm not going to be there." Well, that being said, she wasn't there. And she comes home the next day and goes into her trailer and doesn't see the dude, right? So I don't guess she was thinking – her name was Pam, by the way. It's Pam Petrie. So Pam goes in and is cruising the – I guess she goes in and, I mean, you know, doesn't know if he's going to be there or not be there or whatever. I don't know. Who knows where she's been. So it's the next day she comes in and walks into the trailer, and it wasn't a big trailer at all. I think it had two bedrooms and a bathroom and the living room. And so she goes back to her son's room. And like I said, he's 16 years old and his name was Wesley. And she goes back into her son's room and opens the door and sees a pile of blankets on the floor with like stuff underneath it. And I don't know what was going through her mind, but evidently she reached down and pulled the blankets off, and there is Outlaw. And he's 10-7. Jim?
Yep, he did. Yeah, very obvious.
Sorry, he's 10-7. Outlaw is dead. And let me tell you how obvious it is. She looks down and Outlaw is dead. And you can tell he's dead because he's been cut on. Now, by that, I mean, we'll get a little bit more detailed into it. So she calls 911, and the Walker PD, of course, responds. And then that was the first murder in the town of Walker in 10 years. Chief Elton Burns, Jim, I think he was probably before your time. He was an old man, and they just didn't have the crime back then in Walker. I mean, look, I went to Walker the other day, Jim, to the Livingston Parish Literacy and Technology Center, where we're going to be doing our shows. Dude, you would not believe how big it's grown up, right? And I'm thinking, you know, back to these days, but it's just, it's a metropolis now. And back then it just wasn't anything. At nighttime, they had the one gas station by the interstate. I mean, it was just small. But so Walker PD responds. Of course, they hadn't worked a murder in 10 years. So they called the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, who send the detectives out. They go out, cordon off the scene, and they go in to the room to where the body is, into Wesley's room. And there's a bunch of satanic stuff in the room. Pentagrams. Is that what you call it, Jim? Pentagram? The devil star?
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct.
Pentagrams and candles and just, you know, satanic stuff around the body, around Outlaw. And they get to looking at the body, and it appears that he's been stabbed to death. That's what they think at first, okay? Because he had lacerations on him, like severe. And so they work the scene, and they have to find Wesley, and it didn't take him long. He was in the park, just chilling, and they got him and they brought him back to the detective's office and had to get his mom up there with him because he was a juvenile and advised him rights. And she was like freaked, right? And asking him, or she's told him, you tell him what happened, you know, tell him what happened. And so Wesley tells him what happened. And he said, well, I don't think he told him everything. Do you, Jim? I think he maybe tried to sugarcoat it a little bit.
He tried to sugarcoat it, give himself a little bit of an out, not give all the information.
Yeah. Let me go back on Outlaw. I think I told you he's convicted child molester and amongst various other crimes, but he's a piece of shit. But Wesley says that at 4 o'clock, about 4 o'clock in the morning, he walks out to the front of the trailer and the TV's on and this dude's asleep on the couch. Outlaw's asleep on the couch. And he said that he tied him up and gagged him and then he choked him to death. Well, that kind of went against what the detectives had seen. They saw so obviously there were some ligature marks on the body and stuff like that, or I should say body pieces. But the deal was that Outlaw was cut up, that not all the way through, but his limbs, like his arms and his legs, had been sawed on, but he looked in bad shape. They didn't believe that he had been strangled at first. But when they went to the autopsy, it turned out he was strangled. The bone in his neck was broken, et cetera. But what happened, Wesley said, was that he strangled him to death, and then he decided he was going to get rid of his body. And so he got a saw. Now, I don't know if you ever tried to saw, up a human corpse or an animal or a carcass or something like that. It's not that easy. Well, Wesley found out. He made several attempts to saw the limbs off the body, the arms and the legs, et cetera. And I think he would get to bone, and it's hard as hell to saw through a bone, right? And he quit. And he gave up. He ends up taking it back to his room and doing whatever. You know, the satanic stuff was there for a reason. That he didn't admit to anything like that. And when they asked him about it, et cetera. I think probably that Outlaw tried to get some, try to have sex with Wesley, and or Wesley may have played him in along with it or whatever. I just don't think you can get a 40-year-old grown convicted felon to let you tie him up and gag him without a fight. Jim?
I agree. I mean, there was obviously some sort of motive prior to that, and just like you're stating, may have been some sort of advancements made to the 16-year-old, or the 16-year-old enticed him into it, then, convinced him to let him tie him up. Maybe they were, as part of their play before he decided to kill him.
I think that's, the logical answer. I mean, Outlaw wasn't a small dude. I mean, and if I'm on the couch asleep, I don't care how hard I'm sleeping, you're not going to tie me up.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition. The true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara. Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family is a little bit different. And in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Without me, you know, raising some hell, and there was no offensive wounds, or I guess if Outlaw was attacking him anyway, but Wesley didn't have any scratches or bruises, no signs of trauma to his body, right? Shit you couldn't tell on Outlaw because he was cut up, and so you think if there was a fight that Wesley would have had some kind of damages to him, but he didn't. And that's it, man. So, I mean, that's my theory on it. But
I mean, there should have been some sort of marks on him if there was a fight. You're talking about a 40-year-old convicted felon and a 16-year-old kid.
With the name of Outlaw, right? I mean, Outlaw is not going
right.
to just let you fucking tie him up and choke him. And there's no point in tying him up. If you sneak up on him and you choke him to death and break his neck, there's no point in tying him up. He's dead. So I don't get the whole thing. And I don't know. But I bet you old Pam wishes she hadn't given Outlaw the keys for what, you know. That's it is.
To a sex offender.
Yeah, yeah, that came out afterwards. I mean, I'm sure he didn't walk around with a sign or a tattoo on his forehead saying, I'll rape your kid. But the Wesley was booked into the Florida Parish's Juvenile Detention Center. And y'all, I was actually a supervisor there in 97, 98. It is the Florida Parishes consist of Livingston Parish, St. Helena Parish, and St. Tammany Parish. And that detention center was built because for serious offenders, juvenile offenders, from the birds up in the country, from 11 years old to 17. And him being 16, he was housed out there first, but it's for really bad kids. It's not a hug a thug program. I mean, it's for, you know, people that are in there for murder and rape and serious offenses. So he goes out there.
Is there another Woodyism?
What's that?
Hug a thug.
I mean, if it is, you know, it was a hardcore place. The cells were the juveniles. You have to keep them independent of each other, and you know, you get processed in just like a prison. They do go through the full strip search, and they have to do the delousing shower, and they give them the prison garb. You know, the I always used to threaten juveniles when I was questioning them, like, you want to go to Florida Parish Juvenile Detention Center? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When you get there, you're going to get stuck in a holding cell till they get around to you. And then they're going to bring you out. They're going to make you strip naked. They're going to do a visual body cavity search on you. Then they're going to, you know, make you shower up with this lice shampoo, and you have to stand there naked in front of a stranger for however long. And then they're going to give you somebody else's shitty drawers that have been worn like, you know, by 100 other kids that have gone through there, and you get your jumpsuit, and they're going to lock you in a cell. And these cells were solid metal doors. There were no bars, and it had a window for staff to look through, and it had a trap door. I mean, just like most prisons now, right? It was like Pelican Bay for kids. And they stayed in their cell. They got out. They couldn't talk to each other. They got out and marched in single file line to the mess hall and back. And all they could have in the cell was a Bible. And I mean, it's a pretty hardcore place. They did have regular school. They forced them to attend. A lot of them that were in there were in there, like, but Petrie didn't stay there that long because they ended up charging as an adult. But the kids that go in there, they're in there for serious shit. And sometimes it can take year and a half or whatever, just like parish prison, for you to get your case heard or adjudicated. And anyway, so it's just, I mean, definitely not a hug a thug, you know, halfway house or group home or whatever. It's a pretty serious place and not a place you want to have your kid go. That's for sure. But he goes there and he has a court date. All right. And so of course to bring him in, they didn't call it arraignments when you're a juvenile, but they had to bring him in for him to answer for the charge, say guilty or not guilty, whatever he was going to say. Well, Wesley Petrie, a 16-year-old, none of us are, I guess, that smart, but he's especially not bright. I mean, he just, I don't know what this kid's thought process was, but when they transport him in, and it's a ways, it's a long ways. That facility is on the St. Tammany, I said it wrong earlier. It's Livingston Parish, Tangipahoa Parish, and St. Tammany and St. Helena. And so it's four parishes that it covers, the Florida parishes. But anyway, it's way over on the east, very far east side of Tangipahoa Parish, and right on the St. Tammany Parish line. But when they transported just as hard as they would a death row inmate from Angola. They shackle them up, the waist belt, the cuff, the chains, the feet shackles, et cetera. And they bring them to court. You want to tell them what happened the first time they brought them to court, Jim?
Yeah, he tried to run in handcuffs and shackles.
How the fuck are you going to run with shackles on? I mean, that's the whole point and purpose. You have to a fast walk and shackles, you have to I mean, it's like baby steps. The chain is maybe 6 inches in between your feet. That's designed that way for a reason. This kid is not only in handcuffs. Now, they have the big brown belt around his waist that fastens in the back so they can't reach around and try to undo it. But the handcuffs go through the center loop in the belt, and his hands are cuffed in front of him with the handcuff keyhole is facing towards him. Oh, and it has a black box on it. That's the last thing you put over the handcuffs is this black box, and it's a double lock mechanism. So the handcuff key faces towards the prisoner. So their hands are on the other side of the black box. They can't try to pick it, et cetera. Just another security measure. Then you go down and you have handcuffs for your ankles, shackles. And I mean, you can barely even walk in this shit. Y'all have all seen it in the movies, et cetera. And they pull up, and the prisoner parking was in the back. Jim, tell them about it.
So he gets there, they bring him in, and he decides he's going to try to bolt and run. And like Woody is saying, you can't get very far. I mean, your hands maybe have 3 inches from your gut area is about as far as your hands are going to go with those shackles. And then your leg, I mean, there's no way you can get maybe 6 inches of room space maybe to walk. I mean, it's not much at all. So you're doing this real shitty shuffle trying to go. I mean, my gosh, maybe he got, 50 yards or so? Boy, what, was stopped. I mean, yeah, not a smart move.
And the funny part about it is that, you know, he goes with two transport officers from Florida Parish Juvenile Detention Center. And so they literally were getting him out of the van. They put one hand on each arm. And before they do that, though, they call the bailiffs at the courthouse to open the back door to the courthouse. And so, there's another deputy. Livingston deputy has eyeballs on them all. So it's all safety precautions, right? I mean, every policy and procedure that's ever been written is because somebody effed something up. I mean, and so these procedures are in place for a reason. And Petrie, I guess he thinks he's fucking Superman or the devil was going to turn him into something, a bird, and let him fly away. I don't know. But he gets out, he breaks the grasp of the surprise correctional officers, and he makes it about 50 feet, and they flatten him. And he's got, it was a cement parking lot, but it was some loose pea gravel and stuff. And he's got gravel embedded in his head, and he's all road rashed and skin up. And they had to call medical out to come and patch up his little wounds and stuff and whatever. So I think that was
catch another charge.
Yeah, and he did. He called an escape charge, attempted escape, which is another 10 years. But I think that was one of the big factors in them actually charging him as an adult. I mean, the judges don't like that. The judges are all about the safety of the prisoners and the courtroom, et cetera. Well, you're going in to answer or plea to a murder charge. I mean, he probably, honestly, I think they might have, because he cooperated and he confessed and everything like that, I think they might have given him the, tried him as a juvenile until he ran. And then when they brought him in the courtroom, he showed his ass in front of the judge and pissed off the judge and the DA, they decided to try him as an adult. And then, or they booked him with, which back then was kind of unusual to really, I mean, nowadays they charge 16 year olds all the time. And, but back then unless it was something really heinous, 15, 16 year olds, they didn't charge them. They didn't charge them with murder like they do now as an adult, I'm talking about.
So it was definitely rare at that time. And how you are in front of the judge, how you present yourself, That plays a lot into that. And so when you just try to escape and then you go in there showing your ass, the last thing you ever want to do is piss off the judge or piss off the district attorney and make it even worse for yourself. So yeah, that definitely played into it along with his story.
Yeah. I mean, so, but yeah, I guess, you know, they didn't see a lot of redeeming qualities in old Wesley, you know, and maybe the judge took in, you know, the Satan worship stuff and whatever, and the DA, and they're like, we don't really want him getting out. Cause the problem with it is, y'all, and that's why it's so common now that teenagers get charged as an adult. Florida Parish's juvenile detention center, you know, when you get convicted, if you get convicted as a juvenile, they ship you to a juvenile prison. Well, the problem with that is you get out at 21. I mean, or at 17, they'll ship you to an adult prison, but you still get out at 21. Juvenile life is 21, no matter what the crime is that you committed. So, and I guess they didn't want him getting out at 21. And so he ended up pleading no contest to the murder of Joseph Trahan, or Outlaw, a.k.a. Outlaw. Jim, you want to tell about a no-contest plea versus guilty or not guilty? I mean,
Yeah, I mean, when you plead no contest, you're basically not fighting it. You're not saying, hey, I did it, I didn't do it. It's just, there's no contest here. It is what it is. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, buddy.
The only thing no contest gives you, y'all, and I see this on these shows all the time where they play no contest, and it's like Jim said, but the only thing it really gives you protection wise is you not saying that you're guilty straight out, so the family can't come back and sue you. You're playing they can still come back and sue, but they can't use this guilty plea against you. So you pled no contest. It's not like Outlaws people are going to sue Pam Petrie. I mean, who's living in the Big D? But so he pled no contest, and they dropped the charges down to manslaughter. I think that was part of the plea bargain. You know, he probably certainly should have got second degree murder. I mean, if you tie somebody up and you gag them, I mean, that's certainly, you're thinking about it before you do it, Jim.
Right. And then on top of that, you try to dismember the victim as well, you know, and then, you know, of course, the investigators got to determine, was this done while the person was still alive, or is this post-mortem, you know? So, and there are ways to tell with that, and I know that probably played a factor in everything too.
Yeah. Well, the manslaughter in Louisiana, that's like if hitman come, well, I'm gonna use you. If somebody comes in,
appreciate that.
Yeah, I was going to use you. My wife, I don't think that would be appreciated. If you come home and you find your significant other banging someone in the heat of the moment without pre-thought, you get your pistol and you smoke them like a pack of cools, then that's a manslaughter charge. The heat of the moment basically is manslaughter. Then the next one up, of course, being second degree murder, which is automatic life. But so they pled him down to get him to avoid the trial. I mean, it really wouldn't have been much of a trial, but by the time he goes to court, he's 17, and they sentence him for the manslaughter of Outlaw and the attempted escape. He got 27 and one half years at hard labor with the Department of Corrections with credit for time served. All right. So that's 2002. What's 27 years on that? That's 2029. Half of that, because it's Louisiana and they have good time. I'll tell you about that in about how he's been acting inside in just a second. So half of that is what, Jim? 2029? I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, you kind of did there, but I would say it's probably right around what, 2017, 18.
Yeah, so his time is coming up if it's not up already. But let me tell you about old Wesley. He's just living it up in prison. He is. Actually, Karen Ortolano, one of our Dream Team members that does the research stuff, and I was talking to her about the case, and she said, I think I saw him on one of the prisoners, you know, a Write a Prisoner or something like that. So I looked it up. It's called writeaprisoner.com. And he actually puts a profile on there, like one of these dating websites or whatever. And he says he has a picture of himself standing by a Christmas tree in his light blue prison garb, chino shirt or whatever you call that. He says, I'm Wesley. I'll be 35 years old this August. I am incarcerated at a correctional facility in Louisiana. About Wesley, my sign is a Virgo. I am not willing to correspond outside the United States. My date of birth is 8/30 of 1985. Eyes are blue. Hair is blonde. A hometown in Denham Springs, Louisiana. Dumbass didn't even know what city he lived in. And he's single, Jim. His marital status is single.
Oh, what a shock.
But, I mean, you can't make that shit up, man. And I'm looking, I mean, he's a full-grown man now. He's got glasses, and he's got a beard and all that. But writeaprisoner.com. So, y'all, if you feel so inclined, you want to hook up with an inmate, go to writeaprisoner.com and look up Wesley Petrie. But... And he says the sexual orientation is straight, but I highly doubt that. A white guy in the prison system, and I work corrections, y'all. It would make a difference if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger on a tier at Angola of 100 inmates. There might be, one or two Caucasians, and it doesn't matter, how big and badass you are, they're gonna get that booty. I mean, it just happens. That's just the culture of it. And the people taking the booty, they don't consider it themselves gay. The bulls, they just consider themselves, and they'll tell you, no, I'm not gay. I just fucked him. I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, I got to do what I got to do, Sarge. That's what they call you when you're correction sergeant. I got to do what I got to do, Sarge, to get my nut. When I'm in prison, it doesn't mean I'm gay. Okay, man. Whatever works for you. So, anyway, I know you're not trying to laugh, Jim. I'm sorry if I got too crude. But so anyway, y'all, look out. Wesley Petrie will be getting out soon and on parole, I imagine. And that's it. Kind of a crazy story that I think that's the only one that I know of. About dismemberment and satanic and all that stuff. Jim?
Yeah, and I know that when they did the autopsy, just kind of cover a little bit of it. Well, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes you want to see if some of these cut marks when he was doing a ritual, like cuts on them and things like that. Was this before death or after death? Was he tortured? And you're able to tell, because when somebody is alive and you're cutting on them, they're going to bleed, right? You got the heart's pumping, the blood's flowing through the system. It can come out and drip and pool. But when you're deceased and you've been there for a little while, that doesn't happen anymore. The capillaries in your blood starts to thicken. And so it's almost like that blood now becomes coagulated. So it's just, it's very thick. So it doesn't pool out. It doesn't drip out. If anything, it's kind of like a bluish stain.
Yeah. It's lividity setting in.
Right. Cause lividity setting in. So it's completely different, and that's how you can really tell if somebody's been cut or dismembered or whatever the case. Because sometimes there's people that are tortured; they may take them off limb by limb, and they're still alive. Well, there's a way to tell,
right?
And so that's part of that autopsy process where Dr. Coe would have examined that.
Yeah, and the when lividity sets in, when your heart quits beating, all your blood it succumbs to the law of gravity. It pulls to the lowest point of your body. And so you're right, Jim. And when he tried to saw him up, it was in his room, and they would have been able to tell also eventually by the blood type and all that. But kid admitted to it, or kid, I said, Wesley, at writeaprisoner.com, you know, admitted to it. And that's it. Just a strange case. But we did it because I'm telling you, I must have had at least 30 people. When we're 11 years old today, Jim, it was today the 10th. Let's see.
Today is the 10th.
Hey,
yes.
Hey, we're 11 months 11 old months. Today, lifers. And so in the especially in the last, I don't know, Livingston Parish, our fans really came out on strong in the last 6 months or so, I would say. And I know that's because of bomb deals and the ladies from that, and then promoting us and the one of our dream team. And now one of my wife's good friends, Lori Goolsby, promoting this. And we're kind of on fire in Livingston Parish. But once that took off, the people wanted to know about this case. And I guess they always – it's just kind of an urban legend for most of them, and thinking this guy was all hacked up and in a million pieces and all the things you hear about the devil worship and all that. But we had tons and tons and tons of requests for it, so we figured we'd knock it out for y'all.
There you have it.
There you have it. Murder in the Big D.
Wesley, write a prisoner.
Murder in the Big D. And
I literally wonder how many letters he's going to get.
I don't know, but if you write him, ask him. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say it, but I'm actually going to filter. I really was going to say something nasty, but I'm not. But yeah, ask him if he's really straight. Anyway. All right. So. That's it, y'all. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Just a different story. We're doing it at listener request, and hope you enjoyed it. So, all right, Jim, we got some things we want to talk about. First of all, I'm going to talk about the lives that are coming up in Walker at the Livingston Parish Literacy and Technology Center. I had the privilege of going over there the other day and spending a couple of hours with Kelly. Jim, I can hear some feedback. With Kelly, their teacher. And y'all, let me tell you about the program. And Jim, it's amazing. She has high school seniors that she's teaching real world law enforcement skills too now, and they're getting some college credits and stuff like that, but they
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When they graduate, Jim, check this out. When they graduate, they will be certified as 911 dispatchers and certified in a lot of other things.
That's phenomenal.
Isn't that crazy? They do internships and stuff with the 911 center through the program. They do.
That's an amazing program. It really is.
Awesome. She has a closet full of holsters and the fake guns. They do handcuffing techniques. They do defensive tactics. They learn how to write search warrants. They learn about testifying, as an officer. The day after I did it, they were going to the parish prison to spend some time there and to the 911 center. And Kelly is just an amazing, amazing teacher and full of passion for her students and the kids. I say kids, the young adults that were in the class were amazing, Jim. I was a badass when I was in high school. I mean, I certainly wasn't disrespectful to any adults or whatever, but I wouldn't have been paying attention. But these kids were on the edge of their seats, and they're really vested into the program. And I can only equate it to, like, when I was coming up, they had, like, shop. Seniors could go to for a couple hours a day and learn how to weld or do woodworking or what some, you know, whatever, if they knew they weren't going to go to college. Well, this program is such a success. She has so many of her ex-students that are in law enforcement right now that are officers, including Jim. One of them is Brian Paul's son, went through the program, and now he's a deputy with Livingston Parish. And Brian Paul, y'all have heard me talk about him, is Brian Paul Smith. He's a chief deputy or a chief criminal deputy for Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office. But she's got tons of students that went on to graduate and go into law enforcement. And the things that they teach them is amazing. Just an amazing program. I wish they had a thought process like that when I was coming up. Maybe I wouldn't have been so bad. Yeah, I don't know.
You come out with a skill set and a job opportunity. I mean, that's setting people up for success. That's amazing.
And gives you the real deal taste of whether you know, that could stomach the career of law enforcement. I mean, I talked to him for over 2 hours about everything from murder to autopsies to, you know, whatever. And I don't even know what I talked about. It was such a pleasure, such a treat. But man, they were awesome. And that program is amazing. Kelly is a fantastic teacher. The Livingston Parish Literacy and Technology Center, they don't just have that program, but that program is a huge success. And maybe we need to get Kelly on one day so she can explain it. But that's a huge success. But they do all kinds of stuff for the public. And it's just amazing. But Jim, tell them about one of the programs that they're doing.
So one of the programs they're doing is the Louisiana Organ Tissue and Eye Donor Registry. So the goal of the students, I will speak to it like this. Turning tragedy into hope for someone else, that's the miracle of organ tissue and eye donation. Having that opportunity to help some incredible students at the Livingston Parish Literacy and Technology Center make a real positive difference in their community by helping them make life happen. In our line of work in law enforcement, we see a lot of bad things, some that result in death. But it doesn't have to be where the person's story ends, right? Their legacy can live on through the miracle of organ, tissue, and eye donation. Lives can be saved, and the tragic tale can have a positive ending and a hero. The kids aren't asking for any money. They want to learn about organ, tissue, and eye donations to make an educated decision. One person can save up to 8 lives. These students want to sign up 1,000 new donors by the end of the school year. I mean, that's incredible. One life, one person can save up to 8 lives, and these students are trying to get 1,000 new donors by the end of the school year to sign up, all right? If you are interested, please go to the lopa.org/LTC. And I'll repeat it. It's lopa.org/LTC. And under the tab that says which school, choose Livingston Parish Literacy and Technology Center. And the next tab under that is which student referred you. Please choose criminal justice students. That is a heck of a goal for these students. Let's help them out a little bit. They're doing a lot. Let's help them to reach their goal of getting 1,000 people to register as donors. I know I register. Woody does as well. And hopefully you all will too.
Let me tell you, that's awesome. I'll tell y'all a real life experience. Okay. I had a young lady who got killed, it's a homicide, and, she got run off the road, by Bro Bridge. All the witnesses saw it. 18-wheeler ran off the road, and she ended up dying from an injury sustained. And it was a single vehicle crash. But she lived for a while in the hospital, but never woke up or anything. But she was an organ donor, and hers were good, and all her organs went out to 8 people, et cetera. And when I talking to the mom and the family members, et cetera, I think her heart went to a doctor. Her eyes went to somebody else. Her lungs went to somebody. And I mean, this, you read the testimony or you hear about organ transplants, but you have people. Think about this doctor. Not that a doctor is more deserving than anybody else, but think about this doctor who was literally dying, waiting on for a transplant, or they were going to die. Like, I mean, it's like within months, it was a critical point. And Maddie, when she was deceased, they were for, you know, they harvest the organs while you still attach the instruments and get them out and jet them to wherever they need to go. But this doctor is now able to go on every day and save other people's lives. And, you know, think about the, I saw one yesterday, a guy, you know, who got something to do with the transplant of the eyes, and he had been blind for a couple of years, and now he can see out of one of his eyes. I mean, think about that. It's just a powerful thing. I've always done it. I don't care what they do with my organs when I go, and I hope, I'll probably be too old. I'm probably too old now, but I hope that they can use them. And these kids to take the initiative. It just goes the criminal justice, y'all. If you go to it, and Jim, I'm going to let you give the website and the link again in a second, the instructions one more time, because I really feel strongly about this. Y'all, they only want to reach their goal of 1,000 people signing up for this. It takes like 2 minutes. I mean, what do you care what they do with your organs when you die anyway? If you're still alive and they can harvest them, then you can give the gift of life, then give it. I mean, and be a hero. That person that is alive every single day because you sign this little form, and you're not going to, you're not going to know. You're going to be gone. So be a hero. Jim, what is it again?
The link is lopa.org/LTC. lopa.org/LTC. And then under which school, you want to choose Livingston Parish Literacy and Technology Center. And that next tab, under which student referred you, choose criminal justice students.
All right. Yeah, I think that's a very worthy program. They're doing some great stuff out there. Those students are your future of law enforcement, your future law enforcement professionals, and one day you might need them. Yeah, let's give them some help. And Kelly, I know you listen to us and you're a huge fan. Let us know, you know, when they break that 1,000 mark so we can thank all the lifers. So what else, Jim?
Hey, we got enough listeners out there. We can make this happen for them pretty quickly. Let's help these students out.
I agree. I mean, and think about Maddie and saving that doctor's life. I mean, it could be you. So what else, buddy?
Jim? Well, we talked about the Bash. We got the live shows coming up here at the end of January.
Yeah, let's talk about the Bash again. Thanks for bringing it up. I have some questions and from one of the our lifers, and they're good questions, and we need to answer them. And it's just general questions, y'all. The crew of Orion's parade starts downtown Baton Rouge the same night that we do our live, but they start at 6:30 p.m. And part of the route does go on Third Street, but it's in within the first quarter of the parade that the floats will be passing. The doors to the basin are going to open at 8 p.m. Plenty of time for the parade to get past. And there's plenty. And then they asked about parking. There are tons of parking downtown. You think about this. Now, they have all the downtown office buildings, and then you have the downtown government buildings and all that. And they have this tons of parking because it's where everybody goes to work every day, and it's going to be empty. All the lots are empty. You could park. Downtown Baton Rouge is one of the safest. It's probably the safest place in the city of Baton Rouge. The Third Street where the basin is, that's where all the bars and the eateries are. And it's kind of like Bourbon Street without the crime, or Beale Street in Memphis without the crime, is the music venues and the restaurants and stuff. It's been an up and coming scene for the last probably I don't know, 8 to 10 years. And it's really, you go down there on the weekends, they have Friday Night Lives, and then and Saturday nights. I mean, people walk from bar to bar and restaurant to restaurant, and hang out all night long. That's what they do. And the police presence, Baton Rouge PD has a station down there. They have, you know, they have them on bicycles. They have them on units. They have them on foot patrol, et cetera. On parade night, you can't get any safer than that. They're going to have the full mounted divisions and everything else. And so people that, from out of town, one of them was like, oh, I don't want to go to downtown Baton Rouge. It's the exact opposite of what you're thinking as far as safety wise, Jim.
I agree. It's pretty safe. They do a great job keeping that all protected down there. And, so come on out, have a great time. The parade will be long gone already. The doors will open up at 8 o'clock, and there's plenty of time, plenty of parking, and it's going to be one hell of a night.
Yeah. And when the doors open up, y'all, it's, you know, the Basin is going to be selling alcohol. You can come in at 8 o'clock. One of the worst things about Mardi Gras and drinking is you can't ever find a bathroom. All right. And you want to make $1 million, you take a porta potty down to one of the parade routes and charge $1 a person. Right. Cause the bar, I mean, businesses won't let you in, et cetera. But if you have a ticket to the show and you want to hang out and watch the parade, because it makes a big loop around downtown, y'all, and it actually will come back on the would be the south side of the Basin again. You want to go down and watch the parade? Shit, that's fun. Go down and watch the parade and have your beads, and you bring your own ice chest or whatever, and then, or if you need to go and you use the bathroom, go to the Basin. The doors open at 8, and you can come and go with your ticket, right? So that's a added benefit. And again, there'll be a lot of people down there for the parade, but it's not going to hinder you, and it's not going to hinder our crew bash. And I think it's going to make me myself personally, I'm going to have a beer and drink the parade before we take the stage. I'm going to have a beer and watch the parade before we take the stage. So And y'all, we're going to take the stage. We're doing a new case, totally separate from the three lives that we're doing in Walker. It's going to be a murder case. And now that Friday night, the night before, is Valentine's. And so this case is going to have something to do with that. It's definitely an adult case. I can tell you that. And it's going to fit in. And of course, Jim and I get to drink on stage and do what we do. And then when we get done, Tom Play. And now Tom Play is the full band. It's Toby and Shelly naturally singing, the people that do our music. But that, you know, it's going to be the full band, all the acoustics, everything. And they put on a hell of a show. They play House of Blues and different venues. And they're well known in South Louisiana. So they're going to rock it. We contracted them to play until closing. So it's really going to be something fun. We're going to have a good time. We're going to, you know, I can't do a shot with everybody, but I'm going to be drinking the whole time. And I know Jim is also. And we'll meet and greet and photograph every one of y'all, I'm sure, you know. I'm gonna cut a rug and we'll do a little dancing too. But it's gonna be a good time. It's gonna be epic. I've not tooting my own horn, not conceited, just convinced that when I throw a party, I throw a party. So, and I know Jim's the same way, but
you know it. It's gonna be a hell of a time, y'all. Come on out. We'll cut it up. We'll cut it up together.
Yep. And what else do we have to talk about, Jim? We love all of y'all, patron members. We love you. Thank you for your financial support. We really appreciate that. I think, Jim, we have 6 or 7 episodes locked up now for patron.
Correct. About 6 hours worth.
Six never before heard episodes locked up. And every day people are hitting us up. Oh, I'm out of episodes or RLRC. And what can I listen to now? I mean, if you have a financial means, you know, for $10 a month, you can unlock those episodes and you get your discount in the merchandise store and you know, you shout out on social media and all that stuff. We try to give all our Patreon members as many benefits as we can. But if you want more RLRC, and we're going to continue to lock up, we lock up a new episode every month, and we're going to be doing more stuff. And Jim, I'll let you touch on it real quick on YouTube, et cetera. And there's a lot more Patreon content's going to be put up. We have plans in the work. We'll leave it at that. But Jim, you want to talk
about it? Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm going to talk about a few things here. One, check out our website, reallifeRealCrime.com, done by Black Sheep.
Yes.
I was a Black Sheep
creative.
I think it's Black Sheep Creative.
Yeah.
And they do a hell of a job. So go check out our site. You know, there's stores on there, events. You can read about Woody and I's bios. There's a bunch of information on there. So go check out that website,
Black Sheep Creative. All our episodes. Fantastic. Yeah, all our episodes, Jim, and in the 24-hour store now with a whole lot more merchandise in it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's great. So Clint Sanchez, and they just killed it for us on that. Black Sheep Creative, the veterans, you want to support your veterans, definitely you know, give them a call and let them put your websites together. They can do all the analytics you want, all the data collection, pay-per-clicks, SEO searches. I can do it all. So give them a shout. We have, if you can follow us on Instagram, please, Real Life, Real Crime. You can follow me. It's just Jim_Rathman or Overton Woody. Those are our Instagrams. Go on there. We have our Facebook crew page. We already talked about our Patreon page. And one of the things we're putting up is the YouTube channel. That's going to be ready to rock and roll here real soon, and then you'll be able to see a lot of the stuff that we're doing live. We'll be on there talking all the time, episodes and just different things. It's gonna be very interactive, or you'll be able to see us, and we're gonna make that grow. So looking forward to getting you that. Once the YouTube channel's ready to go, you'll be notified right away.
Yeah, and I tell y'all what we're gonna do. We're gonna figure it out on the YouTube channel to get everybody to go over and subscribe. Yeah, can I tell them, Jim?
Say that again, Woody.
I said, can I tell them what our plan is to get everybody to go over on YouTube and subscribe?
Yeah, go for it.
What we're going to do when we're ready is we are going to do a never released a story y'all have never heard before, and put it up on YouTube only. So when you go over to subscribe, you'll get an extra Real Life, Real Crime episode. Or you can go subscribe as soon as Jim gets it up now or whatever. But as a subscriber, you'll be able to get this extra episode. And also, before we record these shows, we're going to spend about an hour live on YouTube and answering questions and fan interaction every time we record. And we're going to shut it off right when we start to record the episode, but we'll still let the cameras run, and we're going to start locking up the recorded episodes for our Patreon members. And you'll get to see a video of Jim and I recording the whole episodes. So that I forgot to say that about Patreon. But yeah, YouTube's going to be big, people. And we're going to get on there every day and talk about whatever we want to talk about. And Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget, like I said, we have the Lanyap page, our Bookem page, which is the book club our Dream Team is doing. And Dream Team, we love each and every one of y'all. You're all freaking awesome.
Thank you guys so much for all your support and all the comments you've made on Facebook lately and sharing our information with everyone. That's how we continue to grow. And there's a lot of cities that want us to come and do a live show out there. So if you're in one of those cities and you want us to come to your city and do a live show, definitely spread our podcast to your community there. And once we get enough numbers, we'll be happy to come there and do a live show. It's what we love to do. We'll come and interact with all of you. We'll go all across the world. We don't care.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah,
just spread it within your community, and once we see that it's there, we can book a venue. We'll do it.
Hey, lifers, and we love all of you. And please, y'all are making us such a success by telling people. And we get comments every day of like people were out in public and they heard other people talking about real life, real crime. Thank you so much. You don't know how much that means to Jim and I. When Jim, tell me about your brother at breakfast the other day.
Yeah, so I already talked to you guys about it. I have an older brother. He also was. I played at LSU. He's a chiropractor there in Baton Rouge, Rathman Chiropractic. And he went to go have breakfast. And he's just sitting in the back corner there listening to the podcast. And the table next to him was talking about our podcast, the Real Life Real Crime. So when the waitress came up to my brother, asked him a question, I guess he had to take the podcast out. He had mentioned I was listening to a podcast, answered the question. And sure enough, he ended up. The table next to him was like, what podcast are you listening to?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm listening to Real Life, Real Crime. It's, you know, my brother and Woody. And sure enough, that's obviously what they were talking about. So they took a picture together and sent it over there to us. And that was just real special. I love seeing those kind of things. And, you know, we keep hearing all the time people in gyms, grocery stores.
My dad.
Just everywhere, just listening to our podcast. It's great.
My dad's calling me almost every day, and he's like, oh, this is such and such. And they said, Overton, are you related to Woody? And then they blow up about the podcast. I mean, whether it's his doctor's office or the grocery store or whatever. But see, y'all, that means the world to us. So please continue to share us. Tell everybody you know about us and help us grow. And we appreciate that. If you want to put a smile on our face, tell your buddy about Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And as always, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for listening. We get you tickets for the Crew Bash because when they're gone, you'll be sorry. And till next time or ever, don't let us catch you down on murder. Bye. Peace.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.